You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Well, we had a day of further rand strength. The all share up 0.4% after snapping his four-day losing streak yesterday. Markets certainly easing back from the Yellen yelp on Tuesday. US payrolls are hoving into view tomorrow. Could it be a million plus? Anthea Gardner, MD of Cartesian Capital, is on the line with your market view. Anth, never a dull moment in South African market circles and never a dull moment internationally at the moment either. How are you doing?
Indeed, Michael. Now I'm loving this, actually. I think today's move higher on the JSE and the stronger end might just be a sign that the market doesn't really care about South African politics. I mean, except maybe with a warning not to fire the finance minister.
Rubbish. I'm suspending you, Anthea. I don't care what you say anymore. You're suspended. And we're going to introduce Craig Martin, founder of alternative investment company Torox. Craig, you're not suspended. You're unsuspended. Welcome to the show.
Thanks very much.
Well, the reason we are introducing you, Craig, is because a rolling loan gathers no loss, or some such would-be short seller once said about Capitec. Viceroy, of course, Capitec is long in the tooth of short sellers. They look at the business and they say, well, it just cannot be reporting the kinds of numbers it's reporting with the market cap it's showing, and you've joined the queue. Why?
Yeah, look, you're quite right. There are a lot of short sellers, especially at these particular levels, and a lot of derivative products in the market. I've joined the queue because I'm seeing what Viceroy said 2 years ago. Obviously, management denied it then, but if you read my article, there seems to be a lot of evidence, especially with the introduction of the access facility, the number of clients which seems to have been hidden in the figures. You can't really get those numbers out except for a display on a graph, which seems to have changed in what was presented from 2019. So there are concerns around that. And, you know, my concerns aren't for the business itself in terms of the transactional side. It's got great IT systems, but my concerns about the loan book and that there is really this rolling of loans. The figures just don't make sense otherwise.
And I want to dig into that a little bit, and maybe, Anthea, I can bring you into this, because it's always been a big bugbear for the market. Yes, if you look at what Capitec have done, they're a great, almost fintechy business bank, and they disrupted over the last 10 years the incumbents. But they did that in an environment that was a lot more conducive to the kind of growth that we were used to over the last 10 years. Since that, we've seen COVID upend all of the earnings of all of the big banks, yet Capitec have remained fairly resilient. And they say that they understand their book better than most. They say that they've got a good handle on their client book. They're able to identify when the amount of disposable income that a client has reduces, and that they can try and preempt possible defaults. Do you buy that? Do you think the market is missing something on Capitec here, especially when you have a look at the size of their book that is linked to the public sector and the public service at a time when, let's face it, governments are saying to the public service, we don't have any more money in Mother Hubbard's cupboard?
Yes, some great issues there. Sorry,
No, I'm going to Anthea. We'll come back to you in a second, Craig.
So I read Craig's report with intrigue. It's full of information, lots of good information, solid, pragmatic, points. And the other thing, though, that I'm quite aware of is that Craig has since 2015 been watching this loan book quite carefully, and that's when the share was R3.55. I mean, that was more than 1,500 rand ago. So are we swimming against the tide, or is this really the time for shorting? I feel like this is one of those times you almost need to make the unemotional investor decision. It's a decision that investors and analysts deal with every single day of our life. You know, we look at the numbers and think, oh, this can't be right. There's no way. How about Facebook, as an example, trading above 100 times price-earnings ratio when they made zero revenue? And guess what? The company is now growing into its PE ratio. It recently put out results showing growth of revenue of 50%, doubling net profit. So I just I really am struggling with the idea of whether or not Capitec is a short, because we've been talking about it for so long, actually. That it just, I'm not sure it's a short or whether it's just not a buy and a hold. So what I'm distinguishing between is, I don't know if I would touch the share at these levels, but would I short it and go swim against the tide? I'm not sure if I'm brave enough, actually.
You'd need some cojones. Craig, you've got the testicular fortitude to publish a report saying that that is exactly where you're heading here. Why? What are the major factors that lead you to believe that the management team are selling us a yarn?
Look, I think Anthea has spoken to exactly the point. She says it appears to be a short story. It doesn't seem to be there. I mean, in the early days of Nasdaq, Tesla, there were short people. That's probably still speculative, but you can see the story. You can see the growth. This is a different kettle of fish. The main thing is the loan book. And what concerns me is you've got a lot of depositors, the depositors' insurance, and the taxpayer is going to bear the brunt of it if this thing falls apart. And I mean, management denied it when Viceroy put out the report. But if you look at the figures, so let's say there's 1.1 million credit card clients, because they're not disclosing exactly what that figure is now. It's been in decline. 346,000 got both the access facility and behavioral incentives. That's 31.5%. of the client base were in a way restructured. And their definition of restructuring isn't the ordinary definition. You want to be very careful with the way they word it. So, again, I must just reemphasize that my main concern is that you can't say there's nothing wrong with this company just simply because the share price is going up. You can't say that the loan book is acceptable because management think that only 2% of government employees are likely to default. The landscape's changing. We can see this with the news today. ANZK, the jobs are not as secure as they might have been thought to have been 20 years ago when Capitec started. And yes, Anthony's quite right. I mean, how do you get a market cap that is the same price as APSA and your bank put together? That's only a 9% discount to Standard Bank. These things just don't make sense.
Yeah, if you chat to a guy like Cookie Koermans, who have a lot of respect for Denker Capital, he'll say the South African version of Tinkoff. And look at what Tinkoff are doing in the Russian market. It's what makes markets work. We love these kinds of disparaging views. Sorry?
How many branches does Tinkoff have? Absolutely none. It's a bank.
Yeah, it's a digital bank. And that's where Capitec is heading, right? In the South African market, which needs a little bit more touch, considering the level of consumer that it's servicing?
Well, like, we sold the story of a digital bank, but if you've got 850 branches and more ATMs than Nedbank, it's not there yet. So can it really be on that same kind of rating? I don't think so. You know, I've raised the points in the article regarding the loan book, and that is the main thing. I also don't buy the movement of the share price. I've raised an ALGO, but I don't need to get into that as a reading, into the main topic, which is about the loan book.
Absolutely. Craig Martin, we're going to have to say goodbye to you there. As Anthea comes in, I just want to talk about ABI InBev before we end the market commentary. So your point.
I was going to say to Craig that the reason the share price he's giving is rallying is because of the algorithmic trading. And I can't seem to get my head around where the money would come from for this algo trading that keeps pushing the share price higher, despite everything we're seeing, despite what Craig is saying in his report. So that was the only point I wanted to make.
And then just lastly, AB InBev, first quarter results. And people for the longest time have been saying, Carlo Brito is going to rationalize and turn this business around. But it hasn't really been there because the debt pile has just weighed on all kinds of forecasts for AB InBev. Finally, we're starting to see the narrative turn. What did you make of the first quarter results?
Definitely a decent set of results, better than we were expecting. They were guiding 8 to 13% EBITDA growth, and it came in at 14, so above expectations. Maybe they were just managing expectations. So, yes, definitely a turnaround. New CEO as well. A lot of people are saying they don't know the CEO, but I think he does have quite a strong track record, and I think the other thing it points to by changing the CEO is that ABI have actually thought about their succession plan, you know, which I think gives the market comfort, which is why the share rallied today. But yeah, definitely I would say a decent set of results and a share I would hold, actually.
Anthea Gardner, MD of Cartesian Capital, with your view from the market.